Can everybody see that? It's a very small screen. This is some of the sort of equipment that's used for collecting sediment. I'm going to run through them rather quickly. Having taken sediment, this is a bed load sampler. You lower it to the bed of a stream and you take only that sediment that's running close to the bed. This is another type of sampler where you have a bottle in the nose and this is taking suspended sediment. You lower this thing to the bed and you bring it up at a specific rate, and as it's coming up, it's collecting sediment. And you have to make several tries to get the right speed. You have a certain nozzle diameter, and you have to fill this liter bottle, this half liter bottle, and no more in whatever depth you're dealing with. So you sort of do it on a trial and error basis. This is a simple crane used for measuring from the Tokini Bridge at mile 946. This is a cableway installation on the Acklin River. The fellow is out there in his little car, moving along a few feet at a time, determining the cross-sectional area and taking velocities at many points in a vertical. We take the velocity at many points and then we mean them to get a mean velocity in the vertical. This is another one on the Cottonwood River, which is near Cassiar. And this is looking to shore from a very large one on the Liard River at Lower Crossing. This is a very large installation. You see a little house at the end. The car runs into a little house, and in some instances the car itself is powered. This is a powered reel on one of the cars. And this is a very primitive, simple installation on the Desdiash River at Haines Junction. Just a well. What we call a stream face installation with a recorder and a float operating inside the well. It produces the same sort of mark on the sheet. That's just a close-up view of it. This is a gauge house at Tulsiqua on the Taku River. This particular gauge shelter houses a rather complex recorder called a manometer. We actually purge nitrogen gas into the river and have a sensing apparatus which picks up a breath pressure. We push pressure a certain feed rate through this orifice, and depending on the stage of water over the orifice will depend the back pressure in the tube. Will determine, I should say, the back pressure in the tube, which we pick up on a sensing instrument. The gauge is actually about 200 yards from the river. This is an installation on Lindemann Lake. Again, this is a manometer type thing with a line going out under the ice. More simple, this is on the North Klondike River. This is the recorder on the Ashak River at Canyon, where you cross it on the highway. You see the recorder, just a well over here. Here, this is a cableway that's used and has been used for the past 20 years. A recorder on the Big Salmon River, which has since been replaced with a more impressive one. An In some places, we have to use boats to as a platform for making these observations. This is a boat on the Teslin River putting a small line across the river to which we attach the boat to move, to keep it secure while we do our commentary. I think Charlie Taylor knows a little about this, don't you, Charlie? This is the boat held stationary at a fixed location, and the surveyor has a sounding apparatus and his instruments are hanging over the end. Now this is into our glacier program. We have been studying the Nadihini Glacier, which is on the Haines Road, just off the Haines Road, and this is one of our survey camps. These are surveys being done of the Tweedsmuir Glacier. This was a terrible day. The wind was absolutely ferocious. And these are the sort of markers we put out in front of the Tweedsmuir ice front. The wall of ice you see in the background is advancing towards us as we're there. It's moving at the rate of 6 feet a day. So the blocks keep on sort of tumbling. This is an aerial photograph showing how the ice had advanced and nearly cut off the Alsek River. That was pretty well the closure there. Of the offset. The gap remaining there is only 20 feet. And for a brief time, the river was virtually blocked. But the water, the heavy sediment load, scoured a tunnel underneath the ice. These are just the sort of side jobs that we do because we're sort of in the neighborhood. This is the Lindemann River, or Lindemann Creek, I should say, that we can measure simply by wading it. Sorry. During the winter, we have two or three types of different sleds. This one has a hot water tank. The water is kept hot for the duration of the measurement, which is 3 hours. Here we have some dogs pulling the sled. This is at the mouth of the White River, some 85 miles upstream from Dawson. And this is a sled that's now being used across Canada, that was developed here, with a hot air chamber. And the instruments come up through into the box and are kept free, kept warm, while the sled is moved from one position to another. It's a radiant heater. We have a radiant, which merely creates heat to prevent the current meter from freezing.
No, but what is your source of heat? What power is there?
Propane.
Propane.
Yeah, it's a propane.
How often do you need it?
Yes, that's a good question. The frequency, we like to visit each station about 3 times during the winter and 3 or 4 times during the summer. Just enough to define that bottom part of the winter hydrograph, or the hydrograph covering the winter period. This is measuring with rods, which makes it much easier. You don't have to bother with the sled, and you can do this only when the river is less than 12 feet deep. Now, we work fairly closely with the Americans. The United States Geological Survey come over from time to time and measure our stream at Dawson, in this case, and at Mayo. And we go to Eagle, Alaska, and to Tanana, and measure theirs. And we exchange equipment. We use rather different instruments, and so this sort of exchange is rewarding for both parties. These are two USGS hydrographers measuring the Yukon at Dawson. This is a winter camp during this is the Peel River, and the sort of very typical winter operation. We have cabins at a lot of these locations, so that we're able to fly in and stay overnight. Usually, by the time we get there, half the day is sharp. We need the full day for the measurement of the stream. And that's all I have. Now, I have a number of charts here and publications that are put out by the department. If anyone wants to see the sort of things, we've just come out with a publication, Magnitude of Floods in the Yukon Territory, and also a historical stream flow summary, which gives all the highs and lows since we started operation. This one has just come out. Since the computerization of all our methods, and in particular for the preparation of published material, it's speeded up quite a bit the sort of availability of this information. We also publish a surface water reference index. This is for all of Canada. This tells you where every stream is, how long it's been measured, and what kind of information is available for that particular stream. And there are 5,300 in there. So if anyone has any questions. Yes, Tom?
With regard to the sedimentary survey,
yes.
The main purpose of that is for what?
It's interesting information, particularly for the power developer, to know how long it will be before part of his reservoir will silt up. And at Dawson, for example, we have 200,000 tons per day going by during the peak flow. No, we act as collectors, as samplers, in other words, for water quality. That's another sort of division. So while we're there, for example, when we're at Peel or when we're at Old Crow, we take a sample for them. We have their equipment, their sampler with us. And we take a sample, we bring it in here, and we ship it out. But this is... No, this is really not... a sample that would be of too much use from a purely health hazard point of view. It's a sample which would give you chemical analysis more than anything else. Because of the delay, in order to do pH, E. coli, and all that sort of thing, you have to pretty well do it, and BOD, you have to do it on site pretty well for it to be meaningful. We have too great a problem. You see, we haven't the equipment, first of all, to do that. You'd have to have a mobile lab. Or, you know, take it at some point where there are facilities.
Just one more question. Do you
reach
back to any credit for designing the
No, not really. No. We have had people who have submitted odds and ends to the Suggestion Award Committee, which is part of the government service, and they have been reimbursed.
Well, you should at least have the patent or something.
Oh, no, no. There are so few people who are really involved in this thing, you know, that it's hardly worth a patent. Most of this information, most of these instruments and information and techniques are unpatentable in a way because there are so few people involved. No, we're only too delighted. The Americans show us all sorts of things, and there's a wonderful interchange there, and we're hoping now to go into the Soviet Union and see what they're doing in this kind of field. They're the only other people who are operating in a similar environment to what we are, and just see what they're doing. So I'm hoping in the next year or so that we may have an interchange there. Gosh. Okay, ladies first, I guess. I'm not considering any gaps.
That's foxy.
I'm a hypocrite in a sense.
What?
What do you mean by me in general? Have I many parts? Well, surveys have been carried out by the Special Survey Section of the Water Survey of Canada at many locations in the territory. Six or seven dam sites have been surveyed in detail all the way along the Yukon River from here to the Alaska border. And the Alaskans have surveyed several sites on the lower part of the Yukon River. Now those are simply surveys that have been done in detail, and this information is available to anybody. Ingledow, Sigma, all these people, they do nothing but go through the government reports and embellish them a bit. Basically. So, you know, we're not dam designers, nor we're merely collecting information, whether it's used for power or for the chap who wants to go fishing or for the fellow who wants to irrigate his land. It's almost irrelevant to us. We're providing the basic data. And what it's used for is really not our concern. I'm a hypocrite because I collect this information, and here, most of it I know will be used for hydro development. Yet I'm not too keen to see dams go in anyway. Okay.
You make reference to the two new dam sites in the survey, and which one wasn't the survey?
Yeah.
You mentioned that two of the three dams were in that have some survey.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, I led you astray. All dams had some record. The Mayo Dam, which was the first, which was designed and built, I think, in the early 50s. We'd only been in operation since 1944. So we could only give them, you know, sort of very limited information. Now, it was much better when ASHAC, when NCPC and those people involved in the design for ASHAC came to us, because then we could throw 20 years at them. In fact, more than 20 years. So we've been able to supply some information to all three. But, yes? I think we have enough information on the Pelly to give every site that they have selected a enough basic design criteria. Any flow coming into it, but it does modify that hydrograph. It will considerably modify the hydrograph, yes, because it becomes artificial. It'll be, in other words, a regulated stream. Yes, oh yes. Absolutely, yes, yes, yes. There's one pilot station in Ottawa. Trying this out using the Earth satellite. Yeah, it is. It's very sophisticated.
I was just thinking that if you can really find the idea of what's going to be more signal activated ideas for battery.
Yes, they do this for simple, just the recording of stage. You see, that, yes, this is not uncommon. We have five in BC, and they have four in Alaska. Using PHA. The ones in Alaska were introduced after the big flood that inundated much of Fairbanks. Up to that time, no one was particularly interested in what the Water Resources Division there were doing. When they had the flood, lots of people came through with lots of money to provide some form of flood warning system. So now they have a number of automatic gauging stations all the way through the basin that are remote controlled. In fact, the daily gauge heights are coming into the Fairbanks airport on a printout. It's very interesting to see.
I think the environment model is looking at a very sophisticated installation where they have all the analyzers looking at it, but it doesn't do the pollutant parameters.
Oh yes, sure.
They're going to tell you this back.
Yes. Yes. Simple. Yes. Yeah. I think many of our stations here would lend themselves to that. It's just a question of time. It's very expensive. Yeah. This year. Just had from the manufacturer our first section of new gauge plates. Yes. Yeah. Well, the dams that were studied on the Yukon River initially were with that in mind, actually, what they call a run-of-the-river development, whereby you don't really have any pondage, but you use the flow that is there, and then of course you catch the same water downstream and use it over again. That's right, and this is very common, of course, in places like Sweden and Switzerland, where they use very they're using relatively small creeks and rivers, but with great gradient. And they have staged, well, no, not really, no. And at least not on the streams that we have. But there, the country is well suited to that sort of thing. I just read a report, which is rather interesting. They were putting in one of those things on a river in Switzerland, and they had to include in the design, since it was way up in the mountains, they had to include in the design a walkway across the top of the structure that would permit the passing of two cows. Which is rather interesting. Yes, I've been trying that myself for a long time. If ever, I would hate to win. I think I'd have to beat it out of town because someone would say, "Ah, you." benefit of some.
Do you report grade levels when you're in the top?
Yes, yeah. It's on all the the hydrographs. See, we go in and out of ice period. During the ice period, which for us is half the year, see, it's interesting to note that 78% of the total annual flow, say at Yukon at Dawson, passes there in the few months, May to September. So during the ice period, which is the low water year, the low water period, we have a very difficult, well, in fact, a destroyed relationship between stage and discharge. It really has gone in most cases. In some particular cases, we've been able to work out backwater curves, recession line curves, and make something of stage, of gauge heights. But for most stations, the relationship is destroyed during the winter period. So for that period, because it is destroyed, we'd like to define the limits of it, which is, of course, break up the freeze-up.
What do you define as freeze-up? When you get just initial ice or thickness?
Yeah, actually, when it goes into backwater.
No ice.
This is freeze-up in a hydrological sense. Comes out of backwater, that is when the relationship is now vogue again, which is usually coincident with the complete removal of shore ice. Yes, that's because we're measuring the Pelly at three places, the Cross River at Bangorda and at Pelly Cross.
Right, now you said that the middle line was the one where the proposed granite canyon is.
Well, it's Pelly Crossing. And the Granite Canyon is about 15 to 20 miles upstream.
Okay, there was another one that had a shallower curve. Which one was that site?
Yeah, well, that must be the Pelly at Ross River. Oh, you mean on this hydrograph?
It was on that hydrograph.
Well, there it is.
The Pelly, the one that has the hydrograph. I'm taking the thing up.
The bottom one is Ross River.
And the top one.
The middle one is Pelly Crossing. I'm sorry. The middle one is Bangorda, and the top is Pelly Crossing.
Ah, okay.
I may have said them in the wrong order.
I got a different color.
Yes, and that came out of backwater, for example, for 1974 on May the 14th.
How readily is the road settled?
This would vary very much with the stream. No, only when we have more precise sediment data, which we haven't. We only started a year ago. Well, you know, even one thing about sediment is that even one sample, you know, gives you a lot of information. You know whether it's 2 milligrams per liter or 1,500 milligrams per liter. You know, I mean, to know the difference between those two means a tremendous amount. And just one sample tells you that. Yeah, I haven't the figures here. I'm sorry, I didn't bring them. But the Pelly does carry a fair load during the freshet, which is of short duration. The Yukon at Dawson is fairly heavy during the freshet period. And of course, you have the White River upstream, which is carrying a tremendous amount of glacial sediment. And the Alsac River is another one, of course, where you have a tremendous amount.
One of the figures fairly prominently in the Sigmoid Pod is the Katsushini.
Yes.
And yet the underlying studies are
not. No.
Well, how could they come up with how it would be possible to put it in the Pod when they haven't got anything on it?
You know, they mention it because, you know, that there appears to be a gradient there, and there appears to be a dam site. And I don't think they said it to more.
Well, except the, you know, on that basis, they've done other studies on it, like related to the environment effects and try to rank it compared to that.
Yeah, they may be able to.
They've also got potential, you know, potential power from it, so
I don't know whether they get power. The best they can do, of course, is equate it to some stream that we are studying nearby that has a similar characteristic. And this is what is done all the time. And, you know, they get sort of very rough figures this way. But they are rough.
Well, in that, what means we've got this piece of fiction that we write about, you know, there was a reference to
the
Alsace.
Well,
this was one of the, you know,
the Alsace.
After UConn, this was a test. And he quoted heavy multiplied ones.
Yes.
You know, 9 megawatts.
I think these are meaningless figures, really. They are figures, okay, but they can be, you know, they built in. Probably. Well, No, we need this year's records to make a curve. We haven't got a curve.
You have no data that YCDC might have collected on what they could get from them.
We only have whatever. Yes, whatever they have. Presumably, they could get. We have a good idea because we've had a station on the Congo up in Anzacu for several years. So we have some idea. And I believe Montreal Engineering made an assessment of the potential of the Congo, whether they broke it down into north and south poles. They did that a few years ago. So Montreal Engineering have a feasibility report for the Congo.
Thursday at 8 p.m. in the same place, and we'll be talking about wildlife resources, fisheries, forestry, and something on the economics of hydro development. So we'd like to see you all there.